David Weiss and Don Fagenson, along with a rotating cast of musical pranksters, have melded funk and absurdity for almost 30 years, on stage and in the studio, as the band Was Not Was. They're childhood friends from Detroit, the city that inspired and created the soul of Motown and George Clinton and the punk rock fire of Iggy Pop and the MC5. Was Not Was played satirical R&B tunes, telling outrageous stories, songs like In Kmart Wardrobe and I Feel Better Than James Brown, and this hit from 1988, Walk the Dinosaur. Don Fagenson went on to produce Nick of Time, the album that reinvigorated Bonnie Raitt's career and won an Album of the Year Grammy. He's also produced records for the B-52s, the Rolling Stones, Willie Nelson, and dozens more. David Weiss has contributed to projects for such jazz greats as Freddie Hubbard and Sonny Rollins, as well as the NPR program Day to Day. Weiss and Fagenson, you can call them David Was and Don Was, are still making their own unique music. Was Not Was have a new album out. It's called Boo. It's the band's first release in more than 15 years. And I guess we can say David Was joins us from the studios of NPR West. Thanks so much for being with us.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Scott.
And we're going to be joined by Don Was, Don Fagenson, as soon as he arrives at the studio. The song we're listening to, Semi-Interesting Week, starts off the album.
Monday, I was trying to get my freak on with a couple twins from Washington, D.C. One of them wore the American flag, the other sang Land of the Free.
Now, how does a song like this get written? Does this creative team just try and out-top each other with something outlandish?
I'm victim of a kind of seduction of the phrase. Like, if Semi-Interesting Week came into my head, I'd think, that is perfectly useless until I try to draw it to its conclusion. I'm as surprised as anybody by what comes out.
So far, so good. Things were looking so bleak. Oh, yeah. But it's been a semi-interesting week.
It courses from sex to a little anti-Semitism and finally to a guest appearance by Tom Cruise and who I call Old Father Hubbard, L. Ron. Just hopefully it's absurdist enough with a little one pivot foot in reality to be interesting.
I have to ask before we go any further, why do you guys call yourself Was?
Well, my partner Don's four-year-old or three-year-old at the time was discovering what I think is Piaget's reversibility thinking, saying things like hot, not hot, and mm-hmm. blue, not blue. And Don said, will be, was, not was, and I'll be Don Was, and you'll be David Was.
Don writes the music, as I understand it, and you write the lyrics, right?
A little admixture on both sides, where he's been my editor, and I discovered him, by the way, Scott.
Tell me this story, because he's not there yet.
I've seen the look on his face too many times as I trot out this hoary tale of him on stage in junior high when we were 12 doing a Dylan song. And I wasn't hip enough yet at 12 to know who Dylan was in 64, so I took him to be Bob Dylan. I had an eye for talent. I was like John Hammond in my own little way.
On this new CD, since you bring up the name Dylan, you've got a version of Mr. Alice Doesn't Live Here Anymore. And you wrote this with Bob Dylan?
Don and I were producing Bob's record Under the Red Sky some 15 years ago or so. Mm-hmm. And Don's wife at the time, a record executive at Virgin Records, was producing yet another Paula Abdul record. Anyway, Don came in and spotted Bob and I in conference in the lounge at some point, and I think just to mix it up a little, he said, hey, David, remember we got to write that tune for Paula Abdul. My wife says it's like signing our name to a check for $250,000 each. And Bob said, and I shouldn't imitate him, but who doesn't? He said, $250,000. He said, David, get some paper. You and I are going to write a song for Paula Abdul.
Now the chimney. The windows are parted, the paper mache.
having worked with some singers whose instruments I thought were enough so that you didn't have to produce much, you'd be a genius by walking in with, like, Ricky Lee Jones, who I worked with. And I realized whether it's Ricky or Bob Dylan, you need less production per unit of that X factor. Mm. It's when you have a Paula Abdul, not to diss anyone in particular except Paula, it's all production, and the singer is like this veneer after you've built the walnut table.
By the way, I'm told Don Fagenson has arrived there at our studio at NPR West. Yeah. Now, Don?
Yeah.
How do you recall you two met? We've heard David's version.
There's not even a gray area in it. We got in trouble in gym class.
Now, wait a minute. That's not the story I told.
Go ahead. Go with that, Don, please.
There was a tumbling unit in gym class, and the students were forbidden to go on the tumbling equipment without Mr. Crane, the gym teacher, being there. And, of course, everybody went on the equipment. Howard Koretsky broke his arm. The gym teacher said, everyone who was on the gear, step forward. You're failing the unit. And everyone stepped forward but David and myself.
Yes.
And we were ratted out within the half hour, and we met squirming in the gym teacher's office waiting for him to come in and bust us.
I get the impression that talking to you about your so-called creative process is that this album, Boo, has been put together, well, something borrowed, something blue, stuff you had lying around the attic.
We just worked on it for a really long time. If we hadn't gotten a new record deal with Ryko Disc, we'd probably still be working on it. We worked on it right up until we mastered the record. It was really having a deadline that made us stop.
Another track we want to ask you about. It's got a signature sound, I think it's safe to say, and that's It's a Miracle.
Grandpa's outside, milk in the truck, and little Joey does his best to help. Hammer and nails into the gas tank, and ripping the tires with his belt. And now from a greasy black hose, the foamy white milk starts to flow. It's a miracle. Nothing but a miracle. Yes, it is.
This sounds like it was recorded in the old garage in the building on Woodward Avenue where they had egg crates hanging up, and so many great stars came out of there, right?
And you guys
are from Detroit, but where was this recorded?
It's actually recorded in a very historic room, that same room where the Beach Boys cut Pet Sounds and they cut the Mamas and Papas records. Great history. It's actually closed now. It was called United Western and Ocean Way, then Cello Studios.
This is such a Motown send-up. Is that fair to say?
You know, these things, they don't come out deliberately like that. It's not like, let's do a Motown thing. It's just the way we usually write them is David writes the lyrics first, and I put the lyric in front of me and start singing, and that's what came out. Mm-hmm. He's a significant musical presence.
And Don is my editor par excellence,
is it nice to be back doing this?
There's a real nice feeling about being on stage, standing next to the same people you've been standing next to for 30 years. It's probably the most consistent thing we've had in our lives. It's longer than we've been married.
There's always a little risk involved, even though we've added a couple rings to our trunks. The fantastic thing is you get out in public and you find that people are, their jaws are agape. And part of it is they called us the LSD era Temptations, and you come out and there are still these guys like they arrived in a time machine in pink silk suits standing in front of us.
Oh gosh,
it's somewhere between entertainment and anthropology coming to a Wesno, Wisconsin.
Well, gentlemen, you've been a light to talk to. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Scott.
That's David Weiss and Don Fagenson. Was, not was. Their new CD is Boo, and it's out now. Speaking to us from NPR West. You can hear songs from the new record from Was, Not Was on our website, npr.org/music.